What's up, everybody? Welcome to Money Moves. I'm Michael Munsterman. Today we're going to be talking about the suit.
Grind, that's all I know. Find the time to quit, oh no. No matter good or bad, still I go. I never crack under pressure, I can't be broke. Sun up to the sun down. Map it out, now run it down. Mayweather, I never lose. I be making these money moves. Sun up to the sun down. Map it out, now run it down. Mayweather, I never lose. I be making these money moves.
The soup. So what am I talking about whenever I'm talking about the soup? What I'm talking about is the flavor. Like, I'm talking about what you have in your world, in your mind, in the way you operate, in your team, regardless of what you're, whether you're a singular, like I'm a entrepreneur, I'm ready to go, I'm getting everything rolling, or I'm an entrepreneur, I've got my little side hustle banging out, it's me and two people, or you're a seasoned entrepreneur, you've got, you're doing millions of dollars in revenue, and just the culture of your business. Like this, when we're talking about soup, everything we're talking about is totally exchangeable to any area of your life. Like you could even just be talking about your one-on-one relationship between you and your spouse, your relationship between you and your kids. Like everything in our world inside of interactions creates a flavor. And so whenever I'm talking about soup, I'm talking about culture. I know right now culture is a huge buzzword and not one of my favorite words because I feel like it's way overused. I think too many people, they know how to talk about culture, but they don't know how to build a culture that's super sustainable because I don't think that they're thinking about it in a sense of a flavor. And let me explain what I mean. So inside of my car dealership, whenever we first started it, I'll give you a little bit of background because here's how we start companies. We start companies by saying, okay, look, we have a finite amount of money that we're going to invest in this venture. We're going to put it in and the company is either going to scale according to our projections and our cash input is based off of those projections. We've done our research. We've done market comparisons. Before I ever even thought, okay, yeah, I'm going to open up a car dealership, I went and visited 20 different dealerships just to get a feel for how do they operate? What do they have going on? What do they do that's good? What are their mannerisms? What's it feel like when I walk in the door? Like what's that instant vibe that smacks you? I wanted to get a taste of their flavors. And so I went to 20 different dealerships, walked in, I acted like a customer in several of them. Several times I would go all the way through the buying process, which, you know, if you recognize me and you weren't able to sell me a car, like you might have done a brilliant job. I might have thought, man, I almost want to buy this thing. I wasn't buying a vehicle. I was building a company. And so I went around, I tasted all of these different soups. I wanted to see what it was about. And then when I went into the dealership, part of my vision statement, so I'm starting a company, three. In episode three, we talked about writing down like this little 3 or 4 or 5 page like vision statement. It's a mapped out vision that you have for your company in a finite amount of time in the future, 12 months, 24, 36. So inside of my vision statement, one of the things that I always include is culture. What's the vibe? Like you can't. So in a car dealership, the vibe you want music playing, you want everybody having big smiles, having a good time, making this miserable experience of buying a car fun. We want it to be enjoyable. We don't want the pressure. We don't want the stress on our customers. We do all these little things to make buying a car a seamless, enjoyable transaction. But you couldn't take that same vibe and put it in a bank. Like you can't walk into, kind of pop hits playing in the background and everybody kind of dressed down. Your expectation for a lender is that it's a different kind of an environment. So what I do inside of that vision statement that I've written, I really, one of the things that I focus on is what do I want my culture to feel like? So now back to when we started the dealership, it was my daughter. We sent her off to college. She's got a degree in accounting. And so she came in to handle all of the back end, the finance stuff. And myself, I wanted to handle operations, sales. We hired one employee, a young guy. His name's Ernie. He's a cool, cool guy. He's a hard worker. He does like above and beyond. And instantly, like from day one, he bought into this culture that we were building. I explained in great detail. I spent way too much time at the interview talking to him about what he was interested in and what his belief systems were in respect to customers than I did, okay, can you turn a wrench? Like, can you diagnose cars? One, I didn't know what questions to really ask. So I just thought, you know what? I'm going to get past all that. I'm going to find out if this guy's if culturally, if he is going to be a good ingredient to add to my soup. Because I want to know, like, what are you going to add? What flavor are you going to bring to the table? And so I'm going to get, like, I'm going to dig into that further. But when we first had this team of three people, every single day was an adventure. And all of us were learning processes. It was fun. It was sincere. Customers coming in and out. Like, there was this personal touch. Like, people expected to talk to me. They knew I was the owner. They knew Brooke was my daughter. They knew Ernie was our technician. It was super low-key and super simple. Flash forward 18 months later, and like our numbers are through the roof. The number of cars we're selling, we're becoming a volume dealership. We started off with like 20 cars. We're up to 100 units on the lot. We were profitable inside of the first like 60 days. It was incredible. And we never looked back. Like, it just rolled back into it. I didn't need to take a check from it. So for me, I just dumped the money back in and continued to grow and scale and grow and scale and grow and scale. Adding key people, bringing more and more complex processes in place, where I would do a job for a minute, step back and replace myself, do a job for a minute, step back and replace myself, do a job for a minute, step back and replace myself. And in every single one of those conversations with the people that I interviewed, it was way more about who they were as a person, what their core belief systems were. Now, there are some laws, there's some things you can't ask, and that's not really relevant anyway to what we're talking about. But most people will sprinkle who they are as a person into their resume, into their conversations. And frankly, when you're building a team or when you're talking to the people around you, like, there has to be this conscious thought process to what is it that we're creating here. And so I'm probably not the best guy to give advice on interviewing, because I don't spend a lot of time talking to people about their ability to do a job. Because what I've found is, if somebody buys into your culture, they'll break their back for you. Like, they will dig so deep into what you're doing and what you're building and where you're going that they'll 10x your expectations. You'll build a team that's pulling you instead of you pulling them. But somewhere about halfway through this experience that we had in the car dealerships around month 12, I started to notice that I was slipping from that a little bit. And I hired a couple people that I didn't hire them based on what I thought they were going to add to the soup. I hired them based on, I got to thinking about scale. Oh, I want to scale. I want to grow. I want to hit that next level. I want to get from this revenue to that revenue, this number of cars a month to that number of cars a month. And so I started to hire people not based on what I thought they would do to the soup, but instead what mechanically I thought they could do to the environment. And it was a huge mistake. It took about 4 or 5 months before I took everybody. I said, hey guys, I want to have this meeting out back. Come out back with me. Everybody show up about 10, 15 minutes early. And I had everybody sit on these big blocks out back behind the dealership. And I went over to the ground and I literally drew a line in the dirt. And I said, some of the people who are sitting on these blocks right now are making my soup taste like shit. You might be the perfect ingredient. So let's call somebody Salt. So I'm looking at Salt and I'm thinking, okay, Mr. Salt, you're the perfect ingredient to almost any food that you're added to. Like, you just have this amazing ability to enhance the flavor and make it just phenomenal. But what happens when Salt's that little quality inside of Salt that gets at that flavor? What happens when you go too strong with Salt? What happens when you get a half a cup of salt instead of just a sprinkle? Like, this is what was happening in my environment. I would see this super skill set that I needed to have in my business, but I was more focused on that skill set than the overall flavor, what was being added to the sauce, to the soup, to everything to make it just perfect. Because here's one thing that I can promise you, and I'll come back to the promise. So I'll come back and tell you what I'm talking about there. But inside of this conversation, when we're talking about your culture as you're building a team, like, I'm challenging you, don't think about your team as, do you have this skill set? Yes or no. Think about your team as this. Do you have the skill set or a degree of this skill set, but where's your heart? And does your heart align with my vision statement? Are you who I expected to see step into my business to pull me, not me have to pull you? Because now I'll circle back to that promise. What I promise you is that inevitably you're going to have somebody that can fake sincerity long enough to get through, like get through the gate. But immediately you can tell when the flavor's off. Now, this is a huge mistake. I see a lot of people do this. And if you're listening to this and you manage people or you've got a big team or you're growing a team, the biggest mistake that I see entrepreneurs make whenever it comes to, or managers make whenever it comes to staffing, is that they are fast to hire and slow to fire. But the fact is that whenever a little bit of shit gets in your soup, your shoot, like it doesn't matter, a little or a lot, no one will ever eat it. Not only, and if it's bad enough, like no one won't eat it just out. Like no one will ever eat it. You have to make a decision like pretty immediately once they let their guard down a little bit and you see, okay, real colors, like people don't change. They just don't. Not quick enough that it's worth it for you to invest in that. So what I'm saying is whenever you realize that the flavor is off, like you gotta get it out of your soup. Instantly, because I'll tell you, so I drew that line in the sand and I looked at my team of 10 people and I said, here is, I'm going to repeat, you guys have all heard this before. I'm going to say it again. This is the vision statement. And inside of these 10 people, there were about six of them that I'm like 100%. I know where their heart's at. I know where their loyalties are. I know what they're feeling, what their vibe is and what they give us. And then the other two, there were two more that I wasn't sure, like I'm on the line. And then the other two, I'm thinking, these guys are making my soup taste foul. I'm not into it. Like, I'm not into this flavor. And so I had everybody leave except those two. I literally made everybody step across the line. Everybody, I gave them a choice. Everybody chose to step, but then I grabbed the two that I was afraid, like, okay, this isn't the best. And I pulled each one of them aside. I said, look, I want to talk to you real quick. Like, I definitely want to make sure that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're the right flavor for the soup. The first guy that I had the conversation with, lasted the rest of the day and didn't show up the next day to work, didn't call, like never came back. I guess he did come back like 45 days later, maybe when he thought the sting was gone, to pick up his last check. The other guy that I pulled aside and I'm like, dude, where are you? Like your head's not in it. Like I want to believe that you want to be here, but I just don't. And I knew it in my heart, but I hadn't come to, like I hadn't forced the conversation to him. And he just looked me dead in the eyes. He's like, look, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do because I really love what you guys are doing here. But for me, like, it's just not a good fit anymore. And I got a better opportunity. I don't know how to tell you. And I said, cool, consider me told. We're good. And because here's the thing. Like, he was a key person. I didn't want to lose him. It was critical, like mission critical, that he be a successful integral part of the team. But what I knew is if I could find somebody with a similar skill set, but the right flavor, my soup would get better and better and better. And I had the guy who was right under my nose and I approached him and said, hey, come join the team. Here's what I see. Here's where I think we can take this. Again, vision statement. Like, here's what the vision is. Here's what our culture is currently. Here's what I think you're going to add to it and why I think you're important to bring into this fire. Like, we're going to build some big shit and I think it'll be awesome. He joined the team and so far so good. Like, he just broke some sales records this week. This month. Like, just crushing it, doing a phenomenal job. So since we're talking Mega Auto, and I shout out Ernie, like Dalton's the guy, he's phenomenal, does a great job. My point to all this isn't to like make my team feel good. It's to say to you, look, if your culture's broken, if the flavor's off, you've got to figure out what ingredient is either too strong or not strong enough. And you coach up or coach out 100% of the time. Earlier, I said one of the biggest mistakes that I think people make is that they're fast to hire and slow to fire. But I think it should be just the opposite. Slow down a little bit. I recognize you have a need and you need somebody, but just slow it down and think about, like, really, truly, is this person the right person to bring into my organization? Is this person exactly who I need to go to the next level? And take the time, like, give them time to think about it. And you take the time because you owe it to yourself to make sure that whoever you bring in, like, increases the flavor. Now, I touched on this just very briefly, and I'm probably going to just swing this into an additional podcast that's not so business heavy, but like this same thing works on a micro level inside of you. The way you carry yourself and communicate with everyone leaves a taste in their mouth. And I think one of the hardest things for people to do is to truly take the time to recognize that you're not always very tasty. And this is that conversation where I was talking about, you know, flavor and respect to your kids and respect to your spouse and respect to your employees or your coworkers, your business partner. Like, everybody's so quick to point to the other person, but really, if you look inside, you've got to evaluate in every single relationship that you have, what flavor am I, like, what am I giving to this? What am I leaving behind? Because we don't go anywhere, say anything, or do anything that doesn't leave some sort of a trail of flavor in our wake. So just something to think about. I guess when you're looking at your day, just start, ask yourself, like, wait, in that conversation, what flavor did I leave behind? What flavor did they leave behind? And you can simplify this to, like, easy math. Was that a good feeling I left with or a bad one? Is that a good conversation or a bad one? And just roll on that way. But really, just turn internally and ask yourself this question. When I'm talking to people, what kind of a flavor am I leaving? In my organization, what is the flavor that my customers are tasting whenever they step in? Like, really look at and be real. And if you're not self-aware enough, like, you know, like, one of the things that I'm super brilliant at is I'm really, really great at recognizing if my organization is balanced or if something's off. I recognize if in my relationships something's balanced or something's off. And so I'm always, like, micro-tuning those different areas to keep everything very balanced and smooth. So ask, if you're not the kind of person that can look internally and say, wait, is this good? Are we good? I'm not sure. If I'm not sure it's coming out, then it's time to ask somebody else. Like, have the hard conversation. Look at your spouse and say, hey, look, are we good? Like, is this balance good? Like, when you think about me and I'm not standing right there, like, is it good? Like, is it great? Is it like, man, you know, liken it to, are we Brussels sprouts or are we brownies, right? Like, what do we taste like? And is it something we look forward to or is it something we dread? Like, let's have the conversation. So anyway, that's all I've got for you today here on Money Moves, guys. Like, as you're progressing, regardless of where you are in the steps, you've got to take time to recognize your flavor. Savvy? All right, so just as a final kickoff here, I want to share some good news with you. We just got picked up on iTunes in the podcast here. So if you're on some other medium, hit us up. You can find the book, you can find the podcast, you can find everything that I'm doing. If you want to talk to me about keynote speaking or we do some coaching, some different things like that, go to www.michaelmunsterman.com. There are links there that'll take you to our Instagram, it'll take you to our Facebook, it'll take you anything that you want that we've got going on. If you want to jump in line for, get your name on the list for the book release, you want some of that information on the front side, everything's available there. Again, www.michaelmunsterman.com. You can also sign up to join M4 Nation there, and that's Money Moves with Michael Munsterman's Nation. It's basically just a conglomerate of people who want to stay in the loop on all things business that I use. Like, I use that to send out a newsletter and touch on people and just say, hey, look, like, practical steps every single week, different things you can do, different tools I found, different apps I found, whatever my conversation of the week is to help you hack life and just make yours that much better, help you make those moves necessary to get where you want to be. All right, guys, have a great rest of your week. Until next time. Sun up to the sun down. Map it out, now run it down. Mayweather, I never lose. I be making these honey moves.